chapter 14. These are some of my favorite scriptures. I know I've read them and preached from them many times. But I want us to notice something in our reading lesson this morning. Let's notice carefully the ifs that Jesus used. Notice very carefully the ifs Jesus used. Starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the answer for trouble right here. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And he sufficeth. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to stop there. If you love me, if you love me. You know, as I begin to examine that particular small word, and we last week, Brother Miller talked about big, small words. You know, this word if can be used in various forms. We know it to be a conjunction, and naturally there are occasions where we use it in a whether or not situation. You know, someone may ask if you know Greek or if you know your Bible, and they're basically saying or questioning if you know something, whether you know Greek or whether you know the Bible. Sometimes we use the word if in an exclamatory way. You know, we might say, if they could see me now. Or we use the word in a supposition or in uncertainty or hypothetically. Those are various conditions where we use the word, the conjunction, if. But here in the 14th chapter, and there's other verses that I didn't get a chance to read to you, but if you go on down in the 14th chapter, he uses the word if several times. Again, notice in verse 23 of the 14th chapter, again he asks and says, if a man love me, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Throughout this chapter, Jesus uses the word if as a sign of condition. Now, typically, when we use the word if, we use it in a very generic and very general sense. Seldom do we associate or use the word if in situations concerning great subjects. We seldom would turn to someone and say, if you love me. Does that seem natural to you? Have you ever said to your wife, if you love me, you would do this? I know it's unnatural, and there are big, important subjects. We shouldn't use the word if. Especially young people, listen. If somebody's saying, if you love me, you'll do this, and you're not married, that just isn't natural and is not right.
Amen.
I mean, it doesn't seem natural for me to say to my kids, if you love me, you would do this. That doesn't seem natural. Of course, now, I'll clean up the kitchen if you take out the garbage. That seems natural, right? That's not all that important of a subject. But those more important elements, those most more important conditions or subjects of life, we generally do not associate the word if. But throughout this chapter, huge, solemn subjects, Jesus associates the word if. I want us to note this. He uses it at least 7 times. There's one a little farther down in here, and I want to note. You know, as I was studying this subject, I thought of those profound statements that are made throughout the Old Testament in connection with the use of the word if. I thought about Joshua. You remember Joshua? He said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Remember that in Joshua where that he said in 24 and 15? And he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's a profound question, isn't it? And there's a lot of people today, I suppose, think that it's evil to serve the Lord. Or 2 Corinthians 7:14, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and call upon me, God said that He would hear from heaven, wouldn't He? He would turn and He would heal their land. He would forgive their sin. What an amazing thing that's said of God. If. See, there were conditions involved. We had to pray, right? We have to seek His face. We have to call on the Lord. And in those most difficult and trying times of our life, if you will turn to the Lord, He will help you. I thought about Elijah, you know, when he had killed the prophets of Baal, and he asked them, he said, why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve Him. Amen. But Jesus, in this 14th chapter, and I'm not preaching about those, I just thought of those a little while ago, and I thought I'd bring them to your attention. Profound statements that include the word if. Let's notice first there in verse 2. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now what I want us to realize that the condition for going, I'm glad there's a heaven, aren't you? Jesus told us, He told us, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. And all of the conditions concerning going to heaven have been provided in Jesus Christ. He goes a little further and He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This, as far as I'm concerned, it spells out the condition. That Jesus told us the way. Didn't He tell us the way to heaven? Jesus not only is the way, He told us how to get to heaven. He told us not only that there is a heaven, but He told us the way. He showed us the way to heaven. Let me say this. Jesus is not only the way, but His Word is the way. The Bible tells us how to get to heaven. And it's important for us not only to know how to get there, but to find out who will be there. I think that's important. Only those that have been saved by the grace of God will go to heaven. Those that have believed in Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in Him, those are the ones that go to heaven. Jesus Christ revealed to us all the things necessary for us to get to heaven. I'm telling you, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll listen to good sound preaching, if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, God will show you the way to heaven. Amen. Yes, He will show you the way. Jesus said here, He said, I've declared to you that in my Father's house are many mansions. He was talking about heaven. And He goes on a little further and says, if it were not so, in other words, He was saying, everything you need to know about going to heaven, I have revealed it to you. I believe it's all found in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the revelation of God. Amen. Aren't you thankful you have the words of Jesus? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, we have the words of Jesus Christ. And if there was anything that prevents us from going to heaven, Jesus would have revealed it to us. Listen, my friend. If there's some question in your mind, in your heart, on whether you're going to heaven, you need to read the Word. You need to pray. You need to seek Jesus. You need to call upon His name. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus will let you know. Amen. He will reveal. I believe in a revealed knowledge of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is alive and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's still working in His church and working with sinners and working with us. And praise God, He will show us the way. Amen. He is the way, yes. Bible tells us, I don't think there's any greater subject than the subject of eternal life, do you? And, you know, we were talking about great subjects and associating the word if. Jesus, I don't think there's any greater subject than eternal life. And Jesus associated the word if it were not so, with eternal life. I would have told you. Bible says in Hebrews 1 and 13, God, who in sundry times and divers manners, He spoke to the prophets, or spoke to the fathers in times past by the prophets, hath in these last times He's spoken unto us by His Son. Listen, Jesus preached and He taught and He told us that we need to build on a solid rock, and His sayings are that rock. And if you're not built on the sayings of Jesus Christ, you're built on sinking sand. And I'm telling you, when the trouble comes and the wind blows, your house will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. We need to build our lives and our church and our existence upon the principles and the precepts of Jesus Christ. Our lives should evolve around thus saith the Lord. No greater subject than eternal life. And He told them, I've shown you the way. Well, let's notice verse 3. Right? He says, I go. No, that's not what He says. Is it? What does He say in verse 3? And if I go, I'm coming again. Did Jesus leave us? Did He ascend? You know, as I read the account in Luke, I love that account in Luke as the disciples were walking with Jesus. And I preached on that a few months back. Remember on Sunday night I preached on the ascension, how important that was. There in the book of Luke, you can turn over there in the last chapter of Luke. I love those passages, like in verse 50, where He was walking with them to Bethany, and all of a sudden He raised His nail-scarred hands and He blessed them, and suddenly He began to lose His gravitation and soar. And I can just imagine the apostles and the disciples as they were watching Jesus ascend on that cloud. The Bible says that a cloud received Him into glory. I can just imagine them watching Him as He went farther and farther and farther away. I've often questioned in my mind if one of them, like John or Peter, said, do you still see Him? You know? For suddenly an angel appeared and said, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away is going to return again in like manner. Listen, He said, if I go, I will come back. He's coming back. Amen? Did He go away? The condition was that if He ascended, He will return. Praise God, He's coming back. The Lord is coming. His homegoing assures us of our homecoming. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:8 that He ascended upon high and He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. I'm convinced that many times we spend our lives gazing rather than obeying. Many times we're longing and looking for the coming of the Lord, and we need to be working and keeping His word. Amen? Yeah. He said, if I go, I will... The condition. What's the condition? If He goes away, I'll come back. Oh, when I can just imagine as He soared through the sky, He went through the Milky Way, went through the first heaven, the second heaven, and entered into the third heaven. Bible says that the angels declared to the gates to open wide and for them to rejoice. And we read in the 24th Psalm where it tells us, "Lift up ye gates and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong in battle. I tell you, Jesus won us a great victory when He died on the cross and He resurrected on the third day, and He entered into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and He's now our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's interceding for us. He's helping us. He is watching over us. He has a high advantage point. He's observing what's going on in the church and the kingdom here on the earth, and He is dispatching angels and helping us and ministering to us. People, we have access to Jesus Christ here and now. If I go, if I go, I'm coming back. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, I need to move on. But I want to assure you of something. His ascension was not a retreat. No, it wasn't a retreat, but to give advancement to the cause of Jesus Christ, to give advancement to the church, to give advancement to the disciples, to embark upon redeeming this world through the advancement of the gospel, where that the gospel would be preached and the Holy Spirit would be here. He goes on in these passages. He talked about the Comforter coming. He says, "If I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit would come upon us, and it would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come." We have help to do this work. Amen. Praise God, we do. Where would we be without the help of Jesus? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But it's coming a day. Mark it down. He's coming back in power and great glory. When Jesus stands up off His throne and He says, "I'm going to go get my church, my bride." When He comes to get us, what a glorious time that's going to be. When He splits the eastern sky, can you think about that for just a moment? He says, "If I go away, I'm going to come again." Well, that's a powerful promise. I can make those stipulations and use "if" in that manner and may not be capable of carrying through with my end of the bargain or my part. But Jesus will. I will come again. He still leads in this conflict. Well, let's move on down. I want us to notice verse 7. Verse 7. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." He says, "If you had known me." If you had known me. Notice what it says there. If you had known me. What does that mean? Do you really know Christ? Listen, you can't get to heaven unless you know Jesus Christ. That Greek word, epignosko, means that you must know Him experimentally. You must know Him beyond just knowing your Bible. You must know Him beyond just knowing about being a church member. You must know Him beyond just knowing doctrines of the church. You must intimately and personally know Him.
Amen. Amen.
And he says, if you know me, you'll know the Father. You can't get to God except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Provisionally, He is the only way. He died on the cross. His sacrificial death provides the way of salvation. He provided not only the way of salvation, but He provides a communication. He provides a connection, a fellowship with God. We can have fellowship with God. He goes a little farther and he says this, if you know me, you shall also know my Father. He says, henceforth shall you not only know him, but you have seen him. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that they saw him who is invisible. Listen, Jesus said, those in the Sermon on the Mount in the fifth chapter, he said, those that are pure in heart shall see God. I've seen God. Not with my natural eyes, but with my spiritual eyes. My heart has experienced God, and spiritually I have seen Him. I know Him. I walk with Him. I have fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ. But you cannot know God, have fellowship with God. You cannot see God unless you know Jesus. All these other denominations and peoples that think they can get to God apart from Jesus Christ, they are liars. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're trying to get up another way. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way of salvation. Is there anybody here that knows God? Do you know what I'm talking about? Spiritually feeling and seeing God? You didn't know that, experience that, unless you experienced it through Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. If you drift away from Christ, you drift away from God. You leave Christ out of your message, you've left God out of your message. You leave Christ out of your witness, you've left God out of your witness. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way to comprehend the invisible God. If you seek the Lord, you must seek Him through Jesus. If you find God, you must find God through Jesus Christ. Amen. I talk to people all the time. They say, well, I found God this way. And it was some other way other than Jesus. I don't believe it. Amen. I don't believe it. A lot of people say they found God in doing this or doing that. You need to find God through what Jesus did. Amen. He is the one that saved us. He is the one that provided redemption for us. He said, if you know me. You know, when you think about that, all right? If a person really knows Jesus, they're different. Amen? Amen? There's a certain way about them, a certain spirit about them. There's a lifestyle that they live that's different than the world. I'm convinced that a person who knows Jesus will live a life that corresponds with Christianity. That's a moral life. It's a life of prayer. It's a life of praise. It's a life of loyalty. It's a life of dedication. It's a life of love and good works. I believe it's a church life. I certainly do. If you know me. Well, I'm glad I know the Lord. You remember in the seventh chapter of Matthew, there shall be many on that day that shall say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus will turn to them and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. My friend, you must know the Lord. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know the only true God and His Son whom He has sent. You must know God. He said in these particular passages, if you know me. My friend, if you don't know the Lord, you're lost. If you don't know Him in the free pardon of sin, if you don't know Him in having your sins blotted out, if you don't know Him in redemption and regeneration and in forgiveness, if you don't know Him in justification, if you don't know Him in the washing of regeneration, you don't know Jesus. You don't know God. Let's move on down. Notice there. He said in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name. Listen, people, we must pray according to the will of God for the advancement of Jesus Christ. Now, it's easy for us to ask God for stuff that we want. It's hard for us to ask according to His will. When we ask according to His will, we are submitting to anything happening to us that advances the cause of Christ in us. Did you hear that? It's submitting to the will of God to where that anything can happen to us, that God will use us and deal with us any way that He sees fit, which will advance the cause of Christ in us. That's praying in His name. I'm afraid we don't do that. I'm afraid many times we want something from God rather than seek God. When we pray, we should be seeking God. We should be looking to Him for our help and our strength. We should ask Him to not just sustain us through trials and tribulations, but to demonstrate His power in us. God is able to demonstrate His power in us. Let me get to my key text, verse 15. If you love me. If you love me, what will you do? Here in this particular passage, it says, you will keep my commandments. Look in verse 23. If you love me, what will you do? You will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And He will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you love the Lord this morning? You know, Jesus is like saying, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you really love me, you will do my word. I'm afraid many times we have a lot of lip service, but our hearts are not right. We're not really fully committed to doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. You cannot show me you love Him unless you're working and laboring for Jesus. Amen. If you're not working and laboring for Jesus, I don't know that you love Jesus. Love is shown, listen to me, love is shown by the action it prompts. Amen. If you love me, we wouldn't say that to our spouse. Our spouse wouldn't say that to us. We wouldn't say that to our children. Girlfriend and boyfriend shouldn't say that to one another. If you love me, you'll do this or that. But Jesus did say it to us, didn't He? And He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word. I want to end. I appreciate your attention this morning with verse 28. One final if. Actually about seven in this chapter. Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you'll do what? Huh? What's it say here, if you love me? You'll do what? Rejoice. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll rejoice. People, we have cause to rejoice. There's never been a people that had a cause to rejoice. It's us. When you look back over your life, what God has done for you. Have you been saved? You have a cause to rejoice. Has He sustained you? Has He helped you? Has He delivered you in some way? You have a cause to rejoice. Many of us love the Lord because, as David said in the 116th Psalm, we love the Lord because He heard our prayer and our supplication. Amen? We called upon him. We sought him out. And he delivered us from our sins. He delivered us from our situations. He delivered us from our heartache. He healed us many times when we called upon him. We've seen God do healing. We asked and he delivered. Amen. He found it according to his will to advance his cause, to bring healing to our lives. We have cause to rejoice. If you love me, he says, you will rejoice. I assure you, Christian people, saved people, people that know Jesus, people that really love Jesus, occasionally cut loose and rejoice. Amen. Amen? Because he says, if they love me, they'll rejoice. Yeah. If you love me, you rejoice. You know, it's sad. You can go to some churches, they won't even let you rejoice. You love Jesus, don't do any rejoicing around here. That's what they'll say. Yeah, I know. You go to some churches, you go in, if you really cut loose and start rejoicing in Jesus, they will usher you out. But praise God, I'm still part of a church that where there's people that love Jesus. And he said, if you love me, you'll rejoice. Praise God this morning. Praise God. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. I love him today. Praise his holy name. I appreciate your attention. God bless you is my prayer. Springs got done.